a quick message before we get into this week's episode. For longtime listeners of the show, you know that I have been very reluctant to add sponsors and to add recommendations to our podcast. Our priority is to you, to the writers, and to the creators. And so we've held off to make sure that we can find partnerships that we feel good about and products that I can honestly recommend. And that's why I'm so excited to recommend this week's sponsor to you, Quillbot.com, Quillbot.com. This is a tool that I am personally using to build a newsletter that I haven't announced yet, but it's been hugely beneficial for me. So Quillbot is a paraphrasing tool. And the way that I'm using it is I'm scrubbing long form articles that are very, very in-depth with information that I know my audience will really value and appreciate. And I copy that content and I paste it into Quillbot. And Quillbot paraphrases all of the text into a couple sentences, sometimes a couple paragraphs, to really shorten and pack in the information, which allows me to better piece this information into a curated newsletter that I am sending out weekly. For people that listen, you know that I really, really believe in the newsletter space. We believe that newsletters are great businesses to start, and you should start one. If you want to get involved in online media and start creating a business for yourself, a newsletter is a great place to start. And this tool, Quillbot, has been so beneficial for me in building this curated newsletter that I'm working on. It makes it so that I can jam-pack a lot of information into not a lot of space. And it really, really has helped me format my newsletter and provide the information to my readers in a way that I know they enjoy, in a way that I know they can quickly digest, in a way that I feel really proud about. So once again, check out this week's sponsor, Quillbot.com, Quillbot.com. It's easy to sign up and tell them that Tim sent you. All right, let's get on to the show. Hey everyone, my name is Tim Stoddard. Welcome to the Copy Blogger Podcast. Thank you so much for joining me. My guest today is a good online buddy of mine. Dakota's one of my good Twitter friends. I guess that is such a thing these days because I find that most of my friends are actually on Twitter. Dakota is the founder of Growth Ghost. He's built an audience of more than 500,000 followers, which, by the way, I was shocked to see how much you've grown in the past, like, even 6 months, Dakota. So I'm really looking forward to chatting with you. And please help me welcome Dakota Robertson. Welcome.
Howdy, everybody. Yeah, I'm stoked to be here. We've been chatting for a long time, and yeah, definitely got some similar stories and alignment on things, so I'm really stoked to be here.
Yeah, similar stories. We'll just keep it at that. Yeah. All right, man. So in your case, I really want to start at the beginning of your entrepreneurial journey. You've been pretty open, just open about the fact that you never really saw yourself as an entrepreneur. You kind of landed, well, I shouldn't say landed, like you were intentional about your journey, but you discovered an opportunity and then went for it. So in this case, I think there's a lot of people that can relate to that, where they feel like they might not quite fit in. Like, I wasn't born like an Elon Musk just selling lemonade on the street corner, right? So if you would, I'm just going to give you the open floor for a minute. Give us a quick introduction about how you got involved in online writing and how it brought you to where you are.
Yeah, so I'd say it really started kind of around the age of 18. And my buddy Nathan, he introduced me to the book Rich Dad Poor Dad. People talk shit about it, but that was revolutionary.
No, I just did a video about Rich Dad Poor Dad last week. It's like one of the most important books I ever read.
Yeah. I mean, by no means is it, you know, super advanced or high level, but I think it's a great intro book for people because it's such a mindset shift. You're like, oh, it is, you know, reachable to attain wealth. And that book opened me up to the self-development world. You know, oh, well, what else is there? And then I read Think and Grow Rich. And that one gets a lot of flack too. But again, you know, at the start, it's such a mindset shift. You start thinking, okay, what are the different possibilities here? And I can actually do this. And I just started getting hooked on the self-development space, slowly indoctrinating myself on building wealth for myself and that there's more to the path that society lays out to you. Like, go get a degree, go to school, you know, get a job, hope to retire at 65. So at the time, I was an electrician and, you know, I'm reading these books and I'm hating my job. I'm surrounded by miserable people working 12, 14 hours a day in Alberta, it's freezing cold, away from everybody. And I'm just thinking, like, is this all there is? Is this what my life's going to be, surrounded by miserable people doing work I hate? And I started listening to podcasts and just listening all the time. And I remember the host, he mentioned how he went to Vietnam and it was life-changing. So I booked a ticket to Vietnam and absolutely, well, Thailand, Vietnam, Cambodia, spent a month in each, absolutely loved the freedom of it, you know, going where you want, doing what you want, all that stuff. And I realized, okay, I need to find a way to incorporate this into my lifestyle because I hate working for other people and I love the freedom aspect of stuff. So again, got hooked, you know, started experimenting with different stuff, Amazon FBA, iPhone repair and flipping mugs on eBay, shout out to Gary Vee, stuff like that. But I never stuck with it because I didn't have an interest. And so I'd bounce from shiny object to shiny object and didn't see results, obviously. So I did that for a few years and I was also a crypto degen. And I was scrolling Twitter one day in September of 2020 and I came across someone selling a Twitter growth course. Oh, become like a big Twitter account and you can do X, Y, and Z. And I was like, oh, you know, that's kind of interesting.
Was it?
It was Life Math Money.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, it was. He's an Anon account. It was a really shitty ebook. I mean, for me at least. And I was like, okay, you know what? I'll give her a go. So I remember that day was September 24th. I journaled about it and gave her a go. Went through the course. I'm like, oh, this seems doable. And writing was always my strong suit in school. So I think I had a knack for it a little bit. I wasn't an amazing writer, like, compared to other people, but I was like, okay, you know, I can give this a go. And I enjoyed it. I enjoyed talking about my thoughts, sharing what I've learned. And I came across the infamous money Twitter, you know, Dan Ko, Dan Go, you know, all those other dudes. And I really loved what they had to say because they're talking about self-improvement, you know, making money and all this stuff. I'm like, oh, I found my crowd, you know, because you feel like a black sheep when you're trying to improve yourself and there's other people around you, maybe, you know, they're just stagnating or they're fine with how life is. But I found like I really fit in there and slowly just started, you know, writing more, tweeting more, got better, eventually started learning business skills, paid for mentors and started monetizing my Twitter with ghostwriting.
Very cool. There's so many things that you and I have in common. Listening to your story, I was really reliving a little bit of my own journey. I was a carpenter most of my life. I was actually one of those few people that really enjoyed it, though. Like sometimes when I come on podcasts, it's a little bit of a side journey, but there's like this thing against like, oh, I was working every day and I hated it. I didn't feel that way. I actually sometimes even think about when I'm done with all of this entrepreneurship stuff, like maybe I'll just do a contracting business, you know, and like fix cabinets in people's kitchens. That always sounds really nice to me. But the part that I really gravitated towards is the two books that you mentioned. I talk about books a lot on this podcast because I never went to school. I was never educated, but I read and I still do read all the time. First time I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, I was on the subway. I was in Philly. And that's where I grew up. And it was, you know, both of my parents were real blue collar people. My mom was an inner city ER nurse. My dad worked at the Philly airport. He was one of those guys that threw the suitcases into the bellies of planes, right? And I didn't think there's anything wrong with that. I still don't. It's just when I read that book, it broke that cast I had in my brain where it was like, go to work every day, get your paycheck, come home, try to save a little bit of money. Right. And I realized like, oh, money is it's a game. Yes. But money within itself is the mechanism to generate money. And once I saw that, I could never go back to it. Like, I just knew, even when I would go to work every day, I just knew, like, there's a different way to do this. And it really messed with me. And then when I got sober, a mentor gave me Think and Grow Rich. And that book just completely changed my life. I love the way, and I read it every year. It's the first thing I do. January 1st of every year, I reread Think and Grow Rich and just constantly remind myself that, like, you are your thoughts. Your life becomes what you most think about. And even I love how he defines it, like, infinite intelligence, right? Because so many of us struggle with, you know, what's my purpose? Like, what am I doing? And I don't know what to call it. And this isn't like a spiritual show at all, but that book really helped me have a concept of something bigger than me that I can, like, contribute to and be a part of. And so I try my best not to make this show about me, like, this is about you. But when you mentioned those two books, those were two of the most powerful books that I ever read in my life. And, you know, that's my journey with those books, but I'd love to hear how they impacted you in terms of changing your mind frame as well.
Yeah, man, I feel that, because the deeper I go into entrepreneurship, the more I read philosophy and spiritual books.
Yeah,
because
it's funny, right?
You know, yeah, right? Because it's more of a mindset, you know, all this stuff, you know, do the fundamentals, but a lot of it's the mindset shit that gets in the way, the challenges, because if you're emotional, you're not going to make good decisions. You know, if you're super needy, you're not going to land a client on the sales call. If you're super anxious, I mean, it's just going to be a shit show. So I gravitate more and more to the mindset stuff. But in terms of Think and Grow Rich and Rich Dad, Poor Dad, it was, you know, you think one way growing up, you know, the traditional way. But when you're introduced to those books, it's a paradigm shift. You're like, oh, I can see life this way. Rich Dad, Poor Dad made me realize the power of leverage, because that's what money is, right? You know, you're leveraging this asset, like you said, to, you know, build a life of more freedom or more time.
Yeah.
And then Rich Dad, Poor Dad, you know, that just completely shifted what I thought was possible and reframed, okay. And it shifted, like, the direction I was going. It's like, oh, like, let's think about life this way, and, like, more optimistic, and, you know, realizing it's all attainable. I think that's the biggest thing, is realizing it's attainable at the start. Because before, you're like, there's rich people and wealthy people or whatever. And, like,
I'm not one of those people. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. But when you change your identity and how you view yourself, you take different actions. When you take different actions, you get different experiences. When you get different experiences, you change your identity. So I found they were like a switch. And, you know, they didn't change my life right away, but they changed how I thought right away. And that changed my life gradually.
Love that, man. I'm really proud of what you've built. You know, you and I have had some personal conversations, and I know how hard you've worked towards that. So before we go further, I really want you to know that I'm super proud of the transition that you've made. So congratulations on all that.
Thank you, brother.
All right.
I appreciate that.
Let's talk a little bit more technically. Mm-hmm. You started writing on Twitter, I think it's safe to say. That's really where you got your start. I've seen you make a huge switch to Instagram content. And one of the things that I know took up space in your head, let's say, is how do I make a business out of this? You really built an audience for a long time before you started thinking about how to monetize. And you know, like, till this day, I'm not really quite sure what it is that you're doing. I don't see you pitching any digital products. I know you have a service. I don't necessarily see you promoting your services all that well. So I'm not sure if you, like, keep it on the DL just because you're kind of a private person, if you do that on purpose, or if it's something that, if it's a tactical thing where, like, you prefer your sales to be branded so that people just come to you because they're curious. So in whatever capacity you're willing to share, mm-hmm. How did you build this huge audience and actually turn it into the wealth that you're talking about?
Yeah. So for my done for you ghostwriting service, I never promoted it once. I was very fortunate that I was a big fish in a small pond, and all my leads were inbound. I just grew my Twitter account, had a website in my bio. People just naturally clicked on it and applied to work with me. So I was positioned really well. Like, I was just getting inbound leads, and people liked my brand, my content. So it just naturally got people my way, and then referrals and You know, I don't want to scale my done for you agency to stupid like 100-200K a month. I would rather make less money and live a life of more freedom than, you know, make more money. And then recently, so this year, that's when I leveraged my audience. I finally like, okay, you know, I have this big audience, like let's monetize. And so what I did was I created a cohort on how to start and scale your own ghostwriting business and show them how I scaled mine to 50K a month. And that absolutely killed. I hit 155K in that first month cash collected. I think it was like 300K contract value. Only promoted it a few times and then I just stopped promoting. And in the second cohort, I promoted on Instagram and Twitter. That one did like 250K cash collected, like 500, 400K total contract value. And then, yeah, it's like I don't promote often. And it's kind of by design. I don't want to be the person that's selling on the timeline all the time because what I've noticed, I recently did that. Like I was going more open enrollment and I was promoting more and more. And yes, like at first I collected a lot of cash, but what I found is my engagement went down a bit and, you know, it's not ideal. I like the cohort model because one, you don't got to promote often. Two, it's got built-in scarcity and urgency. So people are more likely to book the calls. And three, you know, you're not, you know, running a program all the time. If you just want to take some time off, then you can do that, right? So yeah, I don't promote often. I probably should promote more. And that's something I'm working on. I'm building out a free course lead magnet on what is ghostwriting and going to raise the awareness of a lot of people. Because what I found as well, at first, you know, you get all the people that are super into your content and they're aware of ghostwriting. But as you promote more and more, you know, you're broadening your audience and you're reaching out to more people. Yeah. With setters and all that. And they're like, what is ghostwriting? I don't even know what this is. We're running into the problem where, you know, ghostwriting is new. People, they're not aware of what the hell it is. So when you try to sell them on it, like, well, what is this thing? And we're running into that problem quite a bit. So it's my job to raise the whole market's awareness level for this shit. And that's going to be a task, but I'm up for it because, you know, if you're the one person, only person in a category, you know, selling this program, you're in a category one, like no competition. Like that's a good position to be in, but you know, there does come with challenges. So yeah, right now I'm working on this big funnel and all of that, but yeah, I need to promote more.
Well, maybe you do. You're obviously living the life that you want to live. And I definitely think there is something to the exclusivity, having like an aura around your brand. I want to talk about ghostwriting a little bit. As you said, this is like a new service that's been provided. And me, just like everybody else, when I first heard of it and started reading about it, I thought like, that doesn't make any sense. Why would anybody hire somebody to pretend that they're them, right? But like, the busier we get and the more important it is to have you could call it personal brand. I like to think of it more of like just exposure, you know, like it's more important than ever to make sure that people know who you are. Let's say it that way. And this concept of being like a content repurposer, I think is almost a good way to define it, is becoming more and more relevant. So as you were talking about it, I actually just remembered something that I put on the Coffee Blogger newsletter this morning. So today's date is September 8th. If you got this newsletter on the morning of Friday of September 8th, you'll see it in the final thought. Alex Lieberman, he's one of the founders of Morning Brew. I don't know what you call it, like those green screen Instagram videos where he had a job posting in the background and he was talking over it. There's a job opening for a company called Chobani. I should probably know what that is. I'm like not very cool, and so I don't know what that is. But there was a ghostwriter position that was being promoted. So basically, they were trying to get applicants sent in for this ghostwriter position, and it was starting at $155,000 a year. So it's in between $155,000 to $278,000 a year for a full-time director of ghostwriting services. I mean, come on. If that within itself isn't just some sort of bubble in your mind thinking like, wow, this is an avenue that I can take. I can manage people's
content for them. I can repurpose their ideas into an easily digestible, prepackaged form that presents itself well on social media. I mean, geez, this is like a huge market opening up. So there's the backstory. The question is, like, what do you think of the future of ghostwriting? Is this a fad? Is this here to stay? Do you see this as something that other people can build businesses around?
Yeah, so if you look at people like Gary Vee, Grant Cardone, Alex Becker, Alex Hormozi, they all have a personal brand, and this is where the future is going. You know, people that are building personal brands. Yeah, Alex Hormozi spends over $70,000 a month on content. So that should show you, okay, where this is all going. And I don't think SEO or any of that stuff's going away as well, but I think this is going to be super powerful because, you know, if you get someone to follow you, they might be cold when they start, but over time, you know, you are getting them to know, like, and trust you with your content, and eventually they're going to buy from you when they want something or they need something. And so you're creating this asset where you're warming up leads, and it has a compound effect because the bigger you grow, you know, the more networks, the more likes, and, you know, it spreads to different networks and all of that. So it just has that compounding effect. And yes, it does take a long time to build to get that compounding effect. But once you have it, like, I tweet 4 times a day and I grow between 100 to 500 followers. Like, that's crazy. With ads, yeah, you know, it's $1 in, $1 or whatever out. And it's once you turn off that machine, you know, you're not getting any more. So I see the future where it's just going to become more and more relevant. But a lot of these business owners, they don't want to write the content themselves, or they don't know how, or they don't have the time. So who are they going to turn to? The people that know how to get eyeballs, know how to get traffic, you know, subscribers, all of that stuff. So I see it as, you know, it's got a really bright future. And as well, I think the smart ones, the smart ghostwriters, content creators, are going to become full stack. So they're going to know how to create the traffic on social media, but they're also going to know how to maybe funnel that to a newsletter, and they ghostwrite the newsletter as well. Or they send it to a landing page and they know how to write the copy for the landing page, or VSLs, or articles, SEO articles. So I think, yes, you know, social media ghostwriters, but stacking skills on top of it, it's going to be super lucrative because you can upsell people. Or maybe you get the in, hey, I'm going to write a newsletter for you, and you upsell them to social media. Oh, you're growing well on LinkedIn, you want to repurpose that on Twitter, and vice versa. So I see it as a very lucrative opportunity if you are, you know, incorporating all these skills and leveraging it.
Is that what you plan to do?
Yeah, so that's what I'm going to teach in my program. So right now, you know, it's strictly X and Twitter. I'm teaching LinkedIn, Instagram, short form video, and the newsletters, email newsletter course. So it's going to be full stack.
I think you're right, man. I just think I spend a lot of time basically walking around in circles and thinking about random stuff, right? like what's coming around, what's around the bend. And I've been thinking a lot about this line from Seth Godin that I read years and years ago, where he said every company is a media company, whether you want to be or not. And now it's just getting to the point where, like, every person is a media company, whether they want to be or not. And there's a part of people, I think, that is apprehensive to that because it's almost like reductionist. You know, like, I am a lot more than my followers. And of course, that's true. But I try not to think of it as so connected to your identity, right? It's just a brand. It's just a way for you to portray a particular image. And what you, I think, are really good at, and what I think you're good at doing for your clients, is understanding what that image is before you go into it. Because you have to pick something, right? You have to have a concept or an idea that you're trying to share with the world, because that's how you build your audience. I'm talking off the top of my head a little bit there. I'm basically just agreeing with you, but what about, is there anything I just said that you disagree with?
No, I agree 100%. And that's something I think about too. You know, if I lost all my social medias, you know, what would I think of myself? Like, what would my identity be? Because for the past 3 years, that's been a bit huge part of my identity and my income stream and all of that. And I'm not going to lie, like, I do feel a sense of identity with, you know, how I portray myself online or like those social media. So it's an interesting thought experiment, you know?
Yeah.
What would happen?
Yeah. What would happen? Man, all right. Let me switch gears a little bit, because you're somebody who has built brands in many different platforms. You tell me where I'm right or wrong here. You started on Twitter. It seemed like you started experimenting with video and built a pretty good Instagram following. You've done pretty well on LinkedIn, and you also have your newsletter too. And so I think you're in a unique position to answer this next question. And this is something that I've thought about a lot, because I've always been so newsletter focused and probably always will be. Like, I love writing them. I really love doing it. But which of the four, your Twitter, your Instagram, your LinkedIn, your newsletter, any other ones that you have that I don't even know about, like which platform is providing the most value for you right now?
OnlyFans. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
OnlyFans.
No,
hey, you gotta show that muscles off to somebody.
Yeah, that's true.
Come on. Someone's gotta appreciate it.
The way I see it is newsletters everything. Your email's everything. Yep. I see all social media is great, but I see it as a mechanism to get people on your newsletter. I think that's the most important asset, because one, you're not a victim of the algorithms. You know, you own that audience. Two, you know, you're actually providing more value, in my opinion, to people, because you're going into the nuance of stuff. It's not like a quick tweet or 30-second video. So you actually go in depth and stuff. And the people that are reading your newsletter, those are the people that really know, like, and trust you. And those are the people those are your true fans, in my opinion. Anyone that takes time out of their day to open up an email from you, you know, read for 5 minutes or however long, I think those are the most important people, and I think those are the people you can impact the most. So I see all my social media as a way to funnel traffic to my newsletter, and I'm also, because I'm going more in depth, I mean, that's creating a deeper relationship with them. And, you know, if I get banned on Twitter or whatever, then, you know, I still have that email list I can build back up. So I've been going harder on email in the past 2 weeks. Like, this is something I'm really putting in a lot of effort. I just rehauled a lot of my email stuff and going harder on that. I also enjoy it more because it's story-based. I think back, this is how I don't really have a structured newsletter. I just think, okay, what is a valuable lesson I learned this week? And how can I portray that one lesson to somebody in a story-based form? And to be honest, it's kind of selfish because I am improving my storytelling
skills. Exactly
what you mean. Yeah, right? Like, you're improving your storytelling skills, and you're forced to understand the lesson and portray it. Because if you don't understand it, you're not going to be able to portray it. So it's, you know, you're improving your writing skills a lot, which I really enjoy. Even if no one read my newsletter, I would still spend once a week just writing it out.
It's really, really refreshing to hear you say that. I've had this argument. I shouldn't call it an argument. I've had this debate many, many times. And for the loyal listeners of the show, and there's a bunch of you, I appreciate you all, but they all know about me, why I gravitated towards copy blogger so much. Because when I built Sober Nation like 12 years ago, I built the whole thing on Facebook. And then the first time I ever saw that whole algorithm change, I spent years building this Facebook community, and it had like 40,000 likes on the Facebook page. And this was back when Facebook was like cool and fun. And I would write articles and post it on Facebook and just sit there and watch these things go viral and think, I am the best at this. Like, I have this whole shit figured out. I am the man. And then one day it just didn't work anymore. And it really was like that. It was one day it did not work anymore. And I thought, well, what the hell do I do? That's when I discovered Copyblogger. Well, I discovered it earlier than that, but that's when I really started taking it seriously. Like, wow, email is everything. And to hear you say that social media only exists to drive people to my email list, that's almost what I just said is word for word what I say. I can't quote you directly on it, but I always like to say, I don't owe social media anything. I take from social media as much as I possibly can. Like, I'm only on there to take and take and take. Like, what's on there, I want it to be mine. And I claim that ownership over the email list. And you know, it's worked out, right? Like that mindset over the last 5 years has really, really driven like a ton of success. And I'm really thrilled about it. And I think if I didn't have that mindset the whole time, I would be in a totally different position where I'm continuously at the will of like the next shoe to drop or the next earthquake to come and shake things up. So, man, you're just saying so many things that it's making me respond to them. I know I'm not like asking you direct questions.
No, I like
here.
It. I like the conversation. Yeah. It's good. Yeah.
Totally. But to turn that into a question, this seems like a little bit of a mindset shift for you where you say like you've reprioritized it towards email. Mm-hmm. Have you seen your email list really grow from social media?
Yeah. I mean, now that I'm a lot more intentional behind everything, because before, you know, I was really stuck in the weeds with my business and like, I was like, okay, you know, I still write once a week on my newsletter, but you know, I wasn't prioritizing the growth of it. So I've had it for a year and a half. It's only at 10,700 right now, but I was only growing like 13, you know, 20 a day. If I ever promoted, it would top up to like 40 or 50. Now that I'm going hard with it, it's growing. I mean, this past week I've grown like 500 or something. So it's I've been cleaning my list too. So that's why it hasn't been growing as heavy, because I removed people that aren't opening up my stuff. So, but yeah, I've been growing like between 70 to 100 people every day for the past week or so. Now I'm more intentional and promoting it a lot more. So this is my new obsession, is email. Like, how fast can I grow this stuff? Because it's fun watching the numbers increase, you know, the open rate, all that stuff. So, yeah.
From a just a dollars and cents point of view, I mean, the Copyblogger email list, we have about 107,000 this morning. Damn. And, you know, I'll send one email a week, and that one email a week is 15 grand a month. And so I wake up early on Fridays, and I mean, I wake up early every day, but Fridays has always been the day where I just dedicate it. And I'm as I'm doing it and as I'm tired, you know, I'm like, fuck, it's Friday. I worked all week. I just want to stay in bed. I think to myself, this 1 hour, hour and a half it usually takes me, this hour and a half of time I'm about to spend is $4,000 or so for the sponsorships and also the sales that I get for our academy inside that. And if I were to equate that in social media, right, the amount of time that it would take me, if I spend 4 hours on social media, let's say I make a video, and let's just say I make 3 videos with all the editing, it's about 4 hours worth of work, something like that. It would be really, really difficult for me to justify that financially when I could spend that time building an email list, which just stacks and stacks and stacks. Because like you said, the bigger it gets, the easier it is to get bigger, right? It's like one of those cruel jokes of entrepreneurship where like the bigger you get, the easier it is to get bigger.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I think you are spending your time very wisely, and I'm really happy to see that mindset shift in you.
Yeah. It's crazy to see compound growth, because you know you hear about compounding, but till you see it, you know, dude, it's actually mind-boggling. I remember, you know, seeing that with Twitter, it's like, holy shit, like I'm growing by, it took me a month to grow by 100 followers before. Yeah. Now I just do it in a day. It's nuts. So do you have a structure to your emails? Like, how do you structure your emails?
For sure. And this took me a long time, by the way. I started off my newsletter on timstaz.com, much like you did, where it would be like, what do I write about this week? And I experimented a lot with a lot of different structures until I just sort of fell into something that works. And now I use this format for my personal newsletter, for Tim Stodds, for Copyblogger. And I actually haven't like announced it or anything. You know, I'm in the behavioral health space. And so I started a newsletter about like investments and new treatment facilities that open up and like laws that were changed within the behavioral health space. It's called The Census. If you want to check it out, thecensus.io. And all three of these newsletters follow the same exact format. So I number them. The first story is something like from me. So it's either the article that I wrote on Copyblogger, or it's like a personal anecdote or something that I learned. The second story is always the podcast. So on my personal newsletter and on Copy Blogger, I share this podcast. So I'm kind of double dipping. And if anybody reads both newsletters, like they get the same thing twice, but it's my newsletters, I guess. I can do whatever I want. Number three is always the sponsorship. Number four is a YouTube video. So I make like a 10-minute Loom video every week about kind of the same thing. Like, this is what I learned this week. And then number five is always like something I'm trying to promote. So on the Copy Blogger newsletter, I give a link to the most recent masterclass that we did. And knowing full well that most people click on that link and they can't get into it because they're not subscribers. And so then I leave another link underneath it with like a discount, basically saying like, for newsletter subscribers only, you can get in for $50 off. And on Tim Stotts, I do the same thing, just more so like whatever product in my portfolio that I'm promoting. So yes, I think that's an important question, because that's actually something that took up a ton of space in my head, you know, where like I wanted to have it more uniform, and like I wanted it to be recognizable, you know what I mean? I think really good newsletters, they have that format that they stick with, so that when people get into the cadence of expecting it at the same time or the same day each week, they like can follow this rhythm that they're used to. And so five stories, every story has a line break, and they're rank ordered in terms of like what I want to share most importantly. And as soon as I figure that out and it really kind of like, I sat in it and it got comfortable, I'm never changing it. So it's like any newsletter I ever start from here on out is going to follow that same format, because it just really works for me.
Yeah, I think I resonate with that. I think, you know, your newsletter should have a feel to it, because it should stand out. You know, like, oh, I'm reading Tim's newsletter. You know, yeah, totally. It's got that cadence. Yeah,
yeah. Okay, let's wrap this thing up on a slightly different topic. And that is about your personal journey in the content that you've created. So you first started basically writing about writing, and you wanted to be a good writer, and you more or less were just like practicing in public, and you built a little bit of an awareness. And over time, especially on Instagram, which is really where I follow your stuff the most, I've seen you just transition more and more and more to, I don't even know what you want to call it, like productivity, just positive living mindset. Was it difficult? Because I think a lot of people want to do that, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of people just start at that higher level where they want to be like a life coach. But nobody wants to take advice from a life coach that doesn't have their life together. You know what I mean? And so I'm always like apprehensive when I see people do that. And I think you really followed a tried and true process where you found something, built an audience, and then slowly worked your way into just trying to be a better version of yourself. Do you plan on transitioning your brand, your business, into something a little bit more holistic and wellness approach, or have you found your lane with ghostwriting and you're sticking with it?
Well, I'm like a self-improvement guy. I want to help people, you know, on all aspects. And I just see business as another avenue as that. But I love just talking about mindset stuff or stuff I've learned that's helped me, because I want to help the people, you know, that are in the place I used to be at. You know, I want to be that positive force for a lot of people, even if there's no way to monetize it. Like, I don't intend to be a life coach or any shit like that, but I just enjoy sharing my thoughts on stuff and what has helped me work for me. Cause I know growing up, I wish I had that. I wish I had that positive role model in a lot of ways. I did a little bit, but I wish, you know, there's someone like, hey, I went through this shit and this is what's worked for me. You know, give her a go. That's cool. Cool for me when I get messages saying, hey, this really helped me. Thank you. But I mean, in terms of like content and stuff, I look at Iman Godzi. I think he's doing something really interesting, where he's hitting top of funnel content, you know, very like 7 lessons that made me a millionaire, like, you know, shit like that. It's very like useful information for beginners and all of that. But what he's also doing, he's bringing people into his ecosystem. So it's like, oh, they're into self-improvement and business, and he's raising their awareness level through his top of funnel content. But so they're like, oh, what's this? You know, I could get into sales or whatever, start my own agency. So there's also like the business aspect side of stuff where you're you know, you're broadening your reach to people, because not everyone's going to be interested in writing. But if you they you get them in your ecosystem with the broad content, then you start talking about writing here or there, like, oh, that's interesting. You know, I didn't know about that. And then you're increasing your leads and all that. I create the content because I just enjoy creating the content. But I do, like, set in the back of my mind, I'm like, oh, yeah, there's, like, people I'm also going to convert down the line too when I'm bringing people in. But I think a lot of people, they screw up and they go really broad at first. You know, they don't have skill sets. Like, oh, it's easy to create mindset content. You know, I just read some books and all that. But meanwhile, like you said, like, they don't got their shit together. Like, what? I think the people that are qualified to give mindset advice are people that have actually done shit and built stuff in real life. And because that's what's going to present you with the challenges where you need to get your mindset right. You know, it all comes down to your mindset. So not like some 17-year-old life coach, like, oh, do these, you know, hacks and all that shit. It's like, no, you got to earn that. You got to earn that place to, you got to get that experience. And I think people are, they use the mindset content as a, you know, a hack or a way to get out of, you know, learning the hard shit, the actual tangible skills. But I look at the people, you know, that are really successful in the online space, like Dan Coe. He started with web design, teaching that. Then he branched out to more broad. J.K. Molina started as a social skills account, and then he went a bit more broad. Now he's, like, more into business and all that. But, like, I find learning a tangible skill at the start and, you know, offering a service with that, getting experience, you know, building yourself up, and then you go broad. It's kind of like a tree. You got your core, your trunk, and then as you grow, you know, branch out a bit.
I agree fully. And I want people to know that it can be anything. Like, I started writing about getting sober. You know what I mean? Like, I've seen people that have YouTube accounts where they get like 12 million views about cutting grass. You know, it can really be anything. Whatever you're passionate about can be your thing. And I really encourage people just to pick something and stop second guessing yourself. Because that's what everybody does. It's like, oh, well, should I do it this way? This person's doing it that way. Should I do it that way? Like, no. Pick something and then just do it for a year and stick with it. And don't think about the results. It'll come. So I think that's great advice. All right, last question. When you are resting your head at night and you're reviewing the day, what is the big picture dream that pops into your head about where you see this whole thing going? What's like the thing that you don't really talk about that much that you could see blossoming out of this brand that you're creating?
You know, man, I want to be someone who experiences life and writes about it. You know, I want to get to the place where I don't need to do all the business stuff. I enjoy business and I love what it has taught me and the experiences. At the end of the day, though, I want to create content. I have this vision of myself. You know, I'm at a cafe and somewhere in Europe, and, you know, I just open up my laptop and I just write, and I just, you know, I'm writing long form, and, you know, I'm just happy. I just enjoy writing. I enjoy creating content. I want to talk about my experiences, you know, the everyday experiences of life. You know, maybe it's a small conversation with a stranger at a cafe, but, you know, you just go in depth on that and what you learn. So I think life is very beautiful. And when you can capture those small moments, but, you know, go in depth on it, I think that's really cool. But yeah, creating content, I just really enjoy it. And when I can get to a place where, you know, that's all I got to do, well, I can choose to do other things, but, like, that's my main thing. Like, that's what I'm getting at. And I do that, but I also have a lot of shit I'm stacking on. I'm learning all this marketing and sales stuff, and I just want to create content. But I'm glad I'm learning this stuff now, and I see this as a necessary thing I have to learn and go hard right now so I can, you know, go lighter later. You know, I'm just acquiring all this knowledge and putting in the reps, and then down the line, you know, it's gonna be, you know, foot easing off the gas. It's not going hard.
See it. It's always in Europe, that cafe.
Yeah.
It's gotta be in Europe. There's nowhere else. All right, man. Thank you so much. I thoroughly enjoyed this chat. So we got at Wrongs to Right. I think that's your handle.
Yes.
At Wrongs to Right on Twitter.
Yeah.
Same thing with Instagram, Dakota Robertson. And then it's Dakota.beehive, I think your newsletter is on.
Yeah, that's it.
Cool. And then I saw the newest addition, which I'm very proud of you for, DakotaRobertson.net. You finally got your own website.
Yeah, I did.
You're a big boy now.
I know. Yeah, I even got blogs and all that too. So it's, I'm looking forward to seeing what that turns into.
Amazing. Well, everything will be on the show notes. To check out the show notes of this episode, go to copybloggerpod.com. Please sign up for the newsletter. We actually have a specialized newsletter that goes out with this podcast. We take the most insightful clips and pieces of information that Dakota shared, and we write them out so that you can get this entire podcast in a really short newsletter, digestible newsletter, copybloggerpod.com. Dakota, thank you so much. Good luck on everything. And I'm very excited to watch you continue on your journey.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate the thoughtful questions. And this was a really fun one. So thank you.
Talk soon.